Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It got there.
Yeah, he wouldn't have came rally from 17-0 against Atlanta.
And he wouldn't have dropped 45 on Aaron Rodgers on a Saturday night.
There's no chance.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Okay, so like the Matt Stafford thing is interesting because I get where he's going. Like, it takes time.
But
Matt
Stafford was great.
Yeah, but that's where I'm going at. See, like, when you're drafted by a team that goes 0-16,
right?
Let me just read his record with that team year after year after year. 2-8, 1-2, 10-6. Wow, what a great year with Megatron. 4-12, 7-9, 11-5, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, 6-10. Where I'm going with this is that at no point did anyone even think Detroit was ever a playoff team, let alone a Super Bowl contender. At no point did they have seven all pros on one side of the ball.
Right.
At no point.
So when you think about Purdy, and he had to, when you have a year like you did a season ago, franchise record for passing yards, four guys with 1,000 scrimmage yards, you're in the MVP running. You're a hot shot. You have all the commercials. Pressure. I mean, just wait for him to sign a new deal. This is nothing, folks. But also, what we've been waiting on, a lot of us, how does he do without a superstar? People want to see it. They want to see what you do without a premium player.
Since Joe Montana, my entire life, we have... Yeah, but the quarterback for the 49ers.
Right.
Steve Young. Yeah, but he's not Joe. Yeah, he can't get through the Cowboys. Yeah, but what's he going to look like without Jerry? But what's he going to look like without Bill Walsh?
Yeah, but he can't beat the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly. Yeah, but he couldn't do it without Holmgren. He couldn't do it without Shanahan. Okay, then Garcia. Yeah, but he's not Steve. He's not Joe.
Jeff Garcia never gets a credit. I know he said some things a few years ago. I was kind of out of pocket.
As a player.
But you know what? But as a player... Jeff Garcia played his ass off, man.
I mean,
they had some moments. They went to two playoff appearances.
I believe he threw for 30 touchdowns one year, and I know 4,000 back-to-back years, Pro Bowls, back-to-back. Look, he was scrappy. That team was never the best team in the division.
No, not even close.
And then, obviously, Alex Smith. Yeah, but he's got like 8 million coordinators. He'll never be even close to Jeff Garcia. It took Alex Smith for us to appreciate Jeff Garcia. And then, finally, Alex breaks through. Yeah, but I mean, he's throwing to Brett Swain, right? There's always this yeah, but when it comes to the Niner quarterbacks. And there's always pressure. Like this thing about Purdy has established himself, and there are certain professions in life, Bonte, pressure is baked into the job.
That's quarterbacks. You think Jalen Hurts is not getting pressure in Philadelphia right now? He signed a $200 million deal. We just played this out, and Joe DeCamera said they're going to revolutionize football, and it's going to be, you don't even know what's coming. They're ready to run them out of town. I mean,
Caleb
this is the person.
Is supposed to be the savior of the Bears organization.
Well, it's two games.
No,
and
but
he's
you get what I'm saying.
Up. Yeah,
you don't think he has pressure?
Oh, big time pressure. Caleb has pressure. Deshaun Watson has pressure. Kyler has pressure down in Arizona. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go outside of football.
Justin Herbert.
What about shortstop of the Yankees, Anthony Volpe? Hey, Anthony. You better not screw this up offensively for us. We're trying to win a World Series.
Well, just think about Aaron Judge. What's the postseason hits?
It's a great point.
Your 50-plus home runs don't matter. Your RBIs, your triple crown does not matter. You better win the World Series. Shohei Ohtani's about to go 50-50. And guess what? It won't matter if they don't win the World Series. That's pressure.
I totally agree.
That's what happens at premium positions on premium teams.
The guy who plays opposite LeBron on whatever team LeBron's on, LeBron has no pressure. You have all the pressure. If you fumble a little, if this team loses, even if you play well, you're not good enough. Am I wrong?
I'll go Real Madrid, Mbappe. There's a lot of pressure to continue to win Champions League after leaving PSG. And Mbappe's got a lot of pressure.
Now, you're going to think this is stupid, but I just wrote down professions in life where you join that profession and there's pressure. Police officer, right? There's pressure, right? And I know people have their feelings on police officer. There's a lot of responsibility, okay? And every day when you're working, something can happen and someone is relying on you. Day one, immense pressure to not screw up and to keep our community safe. Tremendous pressure. Thank you for first responders in general. I would just throw them all in there. Police, firefighters, EMT workers. Every single minute of your job could be someone's life at risk. And I think about this all the time. Working you talked about, you know, hospitalization earlier. Working in a hospital. These people are God's people. These people are out here, you know, serving our community and some of the sickest, most vulnerable people in our society. You don't think doctors feel that pressure? Absolutely. How about a lawyer? A lawyer takes that job and they know this person's life and their livelihood is in my hands, one way or the other.
Well, I tell you what, as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, I'll just throw myself into this pool. There was a lot of pressure on me when I joined 95.7 The Game and pairing up with an absolute Hall of Famer in broadcasting. There was a lot of pressure to, like, hold my own. There was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of people. There was people smirking. And I had a person tell me, it's like, boy, there's people don't think you're going to last 2 weeks, man. It was a lot of pressure.
Waiting for your downfall.
Pressure. Television. I had to replace the guy.
That's a great point.
I had to follow him up. The guy's been excellent in television for over 30 years. Hey, you're going to host Warner's Pre and Post. Follow up the guy who got you into business. What? That's pressure.
That's a great point.
There's pressure in all walks of life. There's pressure to perform every single day, 6 to 10. There's pressure to perform and get ratings. There's pressure on the boss man to keep the radio station afloat. There's pressure everywhere. But how much pressure? So you can't do anything. Pressure is a compliment, actually. I if I'm Brock Purdy and I say, boy, there's all this pressure on me to perform at a high level, you know what? Fine. Because I think he embraces it. I actually think this young man embraces it, said, yeah, I was the last pick. I've been doubted. I damn near went through a whole entire draft without even being selected. I was already on the phone with teams thinking about, okay, I'm going to be an undrafted free agent. Maybe I go sign here, I'll sign here, I'll sign there. So the pressure, he understands. If he understands the history of the San Francisco 49ers and the history of this fan base and the history of what has come with this organization, then Brock Purdy better embrace the pressure.
Absolutely.
He better embrace it. And you know what? There is a lot of pressure on him because we got to think about how much money we're going to give you in the future. And now we got to play without Chris McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and we absolutely have to get back to the playoffs.
My favorite is the Tony Soprano line of all the time. It's like, you don't know what it's like to be a number one, right? When he says that to Sill, he's sitting there, he's like, do you know how difficult it is for me to be number one? Everybody wants to be number one, but a number two doesn't realize how difficult it is to be a number one. Yep. Heavy is the crown, Bonte, and if you want to be the king and you want to get through the crucible and you want to pull the sword out of the stone, pressure is baked into the job. Yep. It's baked into it. So to your point, the thing that we're putting too much pressure on Purdy. No, we're not. Like, that's part of being the quarterback. When you take up being the quarterback, you're going to get all of the heat when the team loses, and you're going to have to spread the praise around when your team wins. When I watch Cam Ward, and I'm going off a little here, but I'm watching Cam Ward, and he's getting a lot of credit for winning down in Miami. And this is a kid in college who's just tearing it up. He went to Washington State and transferred to the U. And I listen to him and he goes, man, my offensive line's been protecting me and they're doing such a great job. And I'm just listening to this guy give praise to everyone. I go, wow, this kid gets it. Like, I don't know if he's going to be a great football player in the NFL, but I know, like, when it comes to his demeanor and understanding the big picture, boy, like, there's a lot of pressure to win at the University of Miami. I know we don't think so, but, like, and this guy looks like he's prepared for it. Tom Brady. Do you think Tom Brady knew there was pressure replacing Drew Bledsoe?
There's pressure everywhere.
Absolutely.
And going back to LeBron.
I love this.
But going back to LeBron and the pressure, you say there's always pressure on the guy who plays alongside LeBron. Well, LeBron's had the ultimate pressure from the day he was on Sports Illustrated, on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school player. Because when I saw that, when he was at St. Vincent St. Mary's, I thought of Felipe Lopez. Now, Spadonia Loveman may not know who Felipe Lopez is.
Cover
but he was a guy. He was a guy who attended St. John's, was from New York City. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated dunking. He was like in the air like Jordan over the New York skyline in Manhattan as the next best thing.
It was like the coolest like cover ever.
And it didn't work out for him. There's a 30 for 30 on Felipe Lopez. He's doing a lot of charitable work in the Dominican Republic. And I talked to Mully about it. I was like, you remember? Because obviously Mully went to St. John's and he knew all about it. That was pressure. It would have been easy for LeBron to succumb to that pressure. Oh, we got a break. Bye-bye. Well, what was that, Lovin? What?
Let me end this on a good note. In the words of young San Quinn and young Guido, you're out there. Pressure makes diamonds.
Let me cook. It's...
Don't worry about his hand, Bonte. Don't worry about that.
You're like giving me all these hand signals, dude. It's like,
did he give you the Trump meme where Trump saw the guy across the way?
I'm going to stop looking at you. I'm just looking at Spadoni.
Yeah, look at me.
Pressure makes diamonds, Spadoni.
Or we look at Dibs. Or we look at the fat head of Shasky. Or we look at the fat head of myself.
It's like in Superman 3 when Richard Pryor was at that mill and Superman grabbed a thing of dirt and he squeezed it in his hand and he pulled out a diamond.
There's too many Superman references this morning.
We've got Superman. We got Sopranos. If you had that on your bingo card, you win.
You don't know what it's like to be a number one. It's my favorite line.
Oh! All right, what's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Is there a lot of pressure on Brock Purdy? Is there too much pressure on Brock Purdy? Well, let's hear from Steve Young on the other side. Now I got a soundbite from Rob Gronkowski about the 49ers with Kay Adams that you'll want to listen to. That's all coming up here on The Roast.
Hey, Spadoni, shut up!
Just sell and just fire it.
All right. Check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
All right, San Leandro Mo. Good morning to everybody out there. 7:17, man. Time's flying, man. Days are flying, man, as you get older and older and older. I'm not going to lie, man. I was telling Shaq before the show. My daughter's getting so much older, speaking in full sentences and all that stuff, and I'm like getting sad. Like getting borderline depressed, but Odie, you probably went through this too with little Benny. This
is 5 years old today.
Wow, is he 5 years old today?
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Benny.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Benny. Happy birthday to you.
I'll screen record that on YouTube. There you go.
So, and many more on channels.
Remember when that used to be like a thing you couldn't say because it was like monetized or whatever? The happy birthday song now is public domain.
Oh, is it?
Oh, nice. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So you noticed that in shows they wouldn't sing it. They would sing like, for he's a jolly good fellow.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't sing the actual happy birthday song because someone owned the rights to it. But now it's public domain.
You know,
so there you go.
Now that we've opened up the window, I got to give a shout out to all the single parents out there. Whew. Last couple days, no Michelle. It's been difficult, and let's just put it this way. I knew it was a hard job. I knew it came with a lot of pressure. Woo! Just shout out to all the single parents out there with young kids. It's tough. I know that every age has its own headache, but man, that's tough.
No, single parents.
I'm exhausted.
Three kids, two kids, four kids.
48 hours.
I mean, it's, you know, single moms, single dads, they get commended. Even the grandparents who have to take care of business.
Absolutely.
It is not easy. It is not easy. That's a serious. That's pressure. We want to talk about pressure. Being a single mother with three kids, that's pressure. The baby daddy doesn't even want to be around. Which again, everybody has their different scenarios and situations and things happen. But again, when baby Chaz was born, in my head, I said, I don't know how anybody couldn't want to be a part of their kid's life every single day, every single day. I'm dead serious, man. So shout out to the single parents, man, because that's pressure. Playing a kid's game.
No
you
question.
You know, getting paid millions of dollars for it, or us being able to talk about sports for a living. That, you know, is there pressure? Sure, but not to the level of that. There's no doubt. That's real life stuff there. But I was getting a little, I was like, man, she's getting older. She's speaking of sentences. She's chilling with me. And, you know, we have this thing where we give her a sticker. She sleeps in her bed all night, and she never does. But when it's just me at home and Ed is out and about or having a late work night, I put her down to sleep. It takes her 2 minutes to be like, Papa, I don't want to sleep by myself. I'm like, all right. She knows I'm a softie. I'm like, yo, get to bed. Let's go. Let's knock out. And 5 minutes later, she's snoring. And I'm like, all right, good. Got my baby girl here.
Now here's the question.
Because in her teenage years, she will want nothing to do with me.
No, she's just going to want you to hand her the keys to the car and Venmo or Apple Pay her some money.
Yep.
But do you pick her up and then put her into her room, or you just let her sleep there?
Oh, no.
Does it depend?
We read her a book. I read her a book and put her PJs on and stuff like that, rocking the chair. And tuck her in, and she's got her stuffed animals in there. I say goodnight to Ladybug and Teddy Bear and Teddy, as we call him, JJ from Cocomelons, and Minnie Mouse and Chasinka. And then she go to sleep, turn off the nightlight. And usually, if Mama's there, she'll stay in her room and sleep till about 1 in the morning and then come in the room. But if it's just me, she'll be up in like 5 minutes. I'll hear the door and I'm like, what's going on here? I'm trying to work. It's like, all right, Papa, we got to go to. It's like, all right, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. That's what it is. This is what it is. So shout out to the single parents. But we're talking about pressure. I got to play this from Steve Young. Where is this from, Steve Young? Where is this soundbite from?
Rich Eisen Show.
Was it the Rich Eisen Show? Because I saw a lady there.
Okay. So many good guests.
Rich Eisen's bad.
Yeah. It was not Rich Eisen, but it was Rich Eisen Show. I believe it was his partner, Susie is her name.
Susie, okay, yeah, because I saw the lady. I was like, who? That's not Rich Eisen. Okay, well, anyway, here's what Steve Young said about Brock Purdy moving forward.
If they're going to stay with the same plan, the demand for Brock is even greater. He has to be even more honed on his efficiency to find players that aren't necessarily the top of their, the top of the game like Debo, the top of the game like CMC. And now I've got to figure out how to get the ball to them, have them get open. And I'm going to inevitably, Susie, he's going to have to do more. He's going to have to move around more. He's going to have to put himself at risk more. And he's going to have to do things that aren't necessarily his strong suit. And that might provide great things in the future for the when they get to the Super Bowl this year and have to face Patrick Mahomes or face Lamar Jackson. The thing about the 49ers, when they face Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, any big, strong, prototypical quarterback today, they lose. So getting their guy more like that and under duress, like with injuries, might be a good thing.
Might be a good thing.
Well, the part at the end, like, really stuck out to me. It's like anytime they face those guys, they lose. And I'm thinking about it off the top of my head. So they've lost to Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'm talking about recently.
They lost to Baltimore twice, 2019 and
with Brock. And let's just say with Brock.
Oh, okay.
Brock. So he lost to Burrow. Okay.
Mahomes.
Lost to Mahomes. Who else are you putting in there? He's beat Stafford.
Lost to Kirk Cousins.
I hate putting that in there.
Lost to P.J. Walker.
Kirk Cousins.
No, but I'm talking about the big
boys.
He's only three against the big boys.
And they get Allen later this year?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, the thing when I hear Steve Young talk is, I think psychologically he understands what people are going through. I've read his book a couple times, and one of the things that I always reference is in 91 he had the opportunity to leave. And his pastor said to him, like, if you really want to like see the best version of yourself, you know who it's with.
Yeah.
It's with the 49ers. And like, you can go elsewhere and you'll get a starting job and this and that. But the only way to find who you truly are and to push yourself is the pressure of where you're at right now.
You're right. By the way, we got to put Sam Darnold on that list. Last year's backup just beat Brock Purdy. And he looked pretty dynamic in doing it.
Yeah, I meant the best quarterbacks in the league.
That deep ball, man. I kept watching that last night. It's like, damn, dude.
As a thrower of the football?
You know, I'm not going to lie.
When I seen him throw that ball,
you know,
I was like, oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God. And I kept watching them. I said, oh, my God. The Niners, you're in trouble. Odom, Tig Brown, you're in trouble. And I like those guys. Anyway, no. But that's, you know, I'm a sucker for the deep ball. I love the deep ball. That's why I loved Al Davis. He was always like, take what the defense gives you. No, we're going to take what we want. That's why I got to have 2 to 3 deep shots a game.
But did you love
gotta
Brady?
Have it. He would chuck that baby deep.
Yeah, but
Brady over his career, Brady will let that baby fly.
Well, no, you're thinking like some of the, the more elite teams they had. I think the last two Super Bowls in New England, it was a lot of checking down.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Mike Evans?
I meant
Antonio Brown?
New England. It was
the last couple years.
Gronk 7-yard seam route, Edelman on the inside.
But for the totality of his career, Brady let that thing fly.
I mean,
he let that thing fly before Moss, after Moss. Come on, Tom Brady. Go look at it. Go look at YouTube. I remember he was like in his second year coming off the Super Bowl.
Highlights.
I'll never forget watching the Chargers game randomly. Brady's second year, third year. They're down in San Diego, and he was chucking it in 4 wide, 50 yards down the field. I'm like, damn, Brady's got an arm. All I'm saying is, I want a fly route. I got to have a fly route. I got to put pressure on the defense to say, you don't pay attention to us. We're going to beat you over the top.
But they did that last year. They just didn't do it in this game.
They haven't done it in these first two games, yeah, and I want to see more of that.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. The first game, they were in complete
have
control.
It. I'm just saying, I got to have it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But those elite quarterbacks, they're going to test you deep.
I mean, last year in particular, specifically Patrick Mahomes, his average yard of attempt was the lowest of his career.
It was.
He was one of the worst in the league in terms of how deep he was actually throwing.
But he was chucking.
Because they were keeping it short.
But we were seeing a lot of those games, though, watching it in real time, whether it's Philadelphia on Monday Night Football, where he's throwing it deep to MVS and he's dropping it, or he's trying to throw it deep in Green Bay and guys are dropping it. At least once or twice a game, let the defense know. Yeah, let the defense know, hey, if you're not on your P's and Q's, we're going to let this baby fly and beat you deep. We're going to drop the bomb on you. You know, that's all I want. You know what I'm saying? There's no threat of that right now. Everything is 15 yards is in. So I want to see some. I want to see these shots, not a flare, a seam route to the fullback for 30 yards where you know he's going to get caught. Drop back, plant your feet, and let it go like you did against Tampa Bay last year. But that's just a nitpick. That's just a little thing. But here's the other thing that I thought was very interesting, not only from Steve Young, but from Rob Gronkowski. And is this true, folks? Is this true? Gronk with Kay Adams on a 49ers needing a guy.
That will definitely give us a test to see where Purdy is. I mean, you got Samuel going to be out. Christian McCaffrey's going to be out.
Who do they have this week? Let me look.
They got so many weapons. I don't know why they're not producing. Why are they not putting up points like the New Orleans Saints every single week, week in and week out? That's the problem with the 49ers last year as well, is that they dominated some games, and then some games they just didn't show up and they couldn't produce. They should be producing week in and week out, especially with coach, offensive-minded coach Kyle Shanahan, and then with all the weapons that they have. They need that it guy. I feel like they got a lot of weapons, but they just don't have like an it guy to turn it up. Yeah, Ayuk, I mean, he's a great guy, but look, he was holding out
George
the whole time.
Kittle?
George Kittle, they're great players. But I'm talking, you need an it guy. Edelman was an it guy.
Are you telling
like, the
me
guy
that
was,
Kittle's not an it guy?
He's an it guy, but like I'm talking like when it comes to crunch time, it's, hey, feed me that ball. I feel like, you know, they're great playmakers, and they all rely on the other one to make the play because there's so many great weapons. You know what I mean? When you have so many great players around you, you rely, oh, he's going to make the play. That guy's going to make the play. But when you don't have so many, like when it's just when Edelman was out there for
yeah, but Brady
instance,
made
or
an
myself out there, it's give me that ball, give me the ball.
Edelman missed
we're
a lot of time, and you missed a lot of time.
Yes.
And Brady made it guys out of
yeah,
Chris Hogan.
Because Brady was
out of
the it guy.
No disrespect to Hogan,
and
but
Hogan was kind of an it guy too. He had that mentality of feed me the ball, I want it, I'm going to do whatever it takes. It's mentality, and I feel like Trent Williams has that mentality.
Yeah.
He will go out there and he tosses people around. That's what you want. He's doing it 24/7.
Are you calling out the grittiness of this team? What are you doing,
Rob? That mentality. I mean, they should be dominating.
Okay.
What did you think about that from Gronk?
There's so much there.
888-957-9570.
Debo's not an it guy. He did it in the playoffs in 2021 over and over. Kyle, give me the ball. Like the key, the biggest moments of the game. NFC Championship game last year. Did Debo not have an it game?
Well, I think he did.
Against the Seahawks the year prior. He didn't have an it game. He went off in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, just because you get stopped in a game doesn't mean that everything you do is now negated. Like, now, I will say this. To say that Chris Hogan is an it guy, I mean, get out of here on that one. But do they underutilize George Kittle in key moments of a game? That I agree with.
Oh.
That I agree with. Because I truly believe one of the number one issues that I have just with the offense as a whole, and they've been wildly successful. They were a historic last year. But one of my biggest issues, dude, go trips on one side, put Kittle on the other side all by himself, line him up against a safety or a tight end, and just throw him the ball. That's what Gronk did. That's what Antonio Gates does. That's what Travis Kelce does.
Tony Gonzalez.
Like, pick whoever you think Shannon is a Sharp. Great, great tight end. And to me, that is one area when we talk about over the next couple weeks, how do you survive without Debo? You split out George Kittle and you match him up on linebackers and on safeties. And if it's a safety, you know, he goes up and over him. If it's a linebacker, he runs by him. And I would be isolating that matchup all day. I think they keep him into block a lot. He's a great blocker. I get all of that. He is a dynamic downfield pass catcher, and I think that's the number one underutilized thing on this team over the last couple of years. They pick and choose Kittle. I would like Kittle to be more prominently featured.
Yeah, we see it in the Super Bowl. Both Super Bowls. He's in the block. We see it at times in big games where he's in the block and he has to block, so I'm with you on that one. Ayuk is the interesting one, and now that Ayuk's got the money, the spotlight is on him. The spotlight, you want to talk about pressure. The theme of the show, I guess, is pressure, pressure, pressure. The theme of the week is pressure, pressure, pressure. And we're going to go to the lines in just a second and talk more pressure, pressure, pressure. But unfortunately, whether you like it or not, whether it's fair or not, Brandon Ayuk's going to have a lot of pressure over the next 3 weeks to prove that, hey, the hold-in was worth it, that I am one of those guys. Because I don't care what anybody says at this point. We did shows every single day during the hold-in. We did. It shows all offseason. Ayuk was a second-team All-Pro, but it felt like the fan base didn't perceive him as a second-team All-Pro. They just said, hey, you know, he's a guy. He's a good guy.
Because the coach doesn't prioritize him as a – like, let me ask you this.
Well, he never prioritizes anybody. It's like we're going to go Debo to the hot guy at times. Yeah, I feel like hear Debo you.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a full game plan. Like, there are certain times. For example, Kittle had that 3-touchdown game. It felt like in that game, hey, I don't think it was against the Cowboys. Hey, we're gonna isolate Kittle on a couple big time plays, and we're gonna
Pittsburgh. Sorry to cut you off, but Pittsburgh, Ayuk 8 for 8. I get that.
But even then, I would like more of Kittle.
Right.
I think Ayuk's really good. I don't think he's on the hey, we're gonna try to scheme him to get 15 targets a game. They've never done it. Can they? I'd like to see.
I'd like to see 12 targets for Ayuk this week.
I'd like to see it.
I want to see it. I want to see it too. Prove to me that you are worth that guy. I think he is that guy. I don't think he gets the opportunity to be that guy. But boy, I would love to see that guy. Boy, Kittle get 3 targets in the Super Bowl. Damn, let's go to Rob and San Bruno.
It's almost impossible that you walk out of the game and not isolate Kittle with more than a half dozen targets.
It doesn't make sense. Well, Baldy's talked about it for years. They've run seam routes with third string tight ends, whether it's Tyler Croft or what is his name with Taylor Croft. Who?
River Craycraft.
I mean, Sauber felt like he was getting more looks.
But I'm just talking about tight ends. They designed so many great plays for the tight ends, Ross Dwelly, and you don't see it for Kittle. And Baldy would question that in the past. It's like, how come you can't draw that up for George Kittle? Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Rob, what's happening?
What's going on? First off, Debo is that it guy. I don't know what that dude was talking about. Debo the guy.
Completely agree.
Secondly. Secondly, I think I had a brain fart. I just think Brock, the pressure's on Cal, it's not on Brock. This is Cal's offense. Cal put guys he wants in to play his style of ball. Has nothing to do with who the quarterback is. Brock Purdy is a product of Kyle Shanahan. If Niners are going to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be on Kyle's shoulders. Brock won't get the credit for his Cal. So I don't know why we keep...
Rob, you working out right now?
You working out right now? Shannon Sharp?
Right, of course. You are in tip-top shape, man. What are you doing? Are you on a treadmill? You Peloton?
Hey, you said Shannon Sharp.
I was going to leave that alone. Tell it to flow through that.
Stop it.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
They have got to they've got to lean on these guys. I think Mason's a legit back. I think Kittle is a stud that they underutilize, and I want to see it with Ayuk. Let's go. Like, they need to – they could still win the next couple games with those guys. They've got enough talent.
Hey, you know how Kyle get down. Ayuk in a doghouse for the way he acted towards that contract. So they didn't want to throw in the ball unless they had to. Now they got to. So, to me, I don't think you got to scheme Brandon open. Brandon gets open by himself. Just give him the ball. That's all.
Yeah.
Love it.
What workouts, man? Not the Shannon Sharp, but what does he got? The Rose Sparks? We don't need the Rose Sparks, right?
No. I do a little bit of weightlifting, but I'm walking up this big-ass hill out of Frisco, so.
I feel you on
that's
that.
That's my workout for today.
There it is.
I imagine you doing Bowflex, like those old wooden Bowflexes from the 80s, Rob. I'm totally teasing.
Rob's a big boy, man.
Oh, Rob
Rob's
will throw
a big
down.
Boy. Rob's a big boy. Ah, I hire my security.
I'm gonna break somebody. let's go
to Gabriel in Orange County. Gabriel, what's happening?
Hey, what up, Monte? What up, Shasky? How you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, man. Hey, it's good to call back, man. I haven't done my first call this season. I called a lot last season, but anyway, I just wanted to just touch base on that. Like, I do believe there's a lot of pressure on Brock, but I think it's one of those. I think it's good pressure.
Yeah.
I think that the it guy for us, in a sense, the it guy right now, you could say, I think Kyle wants to be the it guy. He wants to be the guy that everybody says we're winning because of him. But I'm going to compare this to for Brock. I'm going to compare this to like a moment in literature. If you ever watched The Great Gatsby, there's a moment where Gatsby, he looks up into the stars right before he kisses Daisy, and he says, "This moment, everything's going to change for me by kiss her." This is like the Brock Purdy moment, like that Great Gatsby moment. Right now, without CMC and without Debo, this is that moment when everybody's holding their breath, and this moment is going to change Brock forever. If he comes through and plays balls out, it's going to literally like shut the entire world's mouth now. Finally, that argument of like, I can't win with superstars, it's over. He needs to come through. I'm excited. The pressure's on. The pressure's on all of us, I think, as a fan base, as a team, on Brock, on Kyle, on all of us. So I don't know.
Are you going to the game? You're here in Orange County. You going to SoFi?
I'm in Orange County, man. I'm trying to get some last minute tickets right now, but I'm trying to make it.
All right, Gabriel. Good call, man. Good call.
Didn't love The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I never watched it in its entirety.
A little overrated. Yeah, it didn't
the
love
movie's
it.
Whatever. The book's really good.
That's what I heard.
I'll take your word on that.
That's what I heard.
F. Scott Fitzgerald. Yeah. That's pay the over on the references for that author.
Let's go to Jose in Oakland. Jose, what's happening, Jose? Long time no hear.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Look, you mentioned that Ayuk on the ISMS, a lot of the fans is not a top-of-the-line wide receiver, even though he was second-team All-Pro. That is a fact. There's a reason for it, okay? We all remember Aldon Smith. At some point, he was an elite pass rusher. He was the best pass rusher out there. But he benefited from having Justin Smith taking 2-3 guys all by himself. Okay, that's the way we see Ayuk. He benefited from having McCaffrey and Debo Samuel out there getting the extra attention. He shows during the Super Bowl he can knock it open all by himself. If he's by himself, he doesn't have the ability to get open the same way that Justin Jefferson would do, or the same way that, you know, some of the top of the line receivers would do. Like I said, he is really good, but he's not the guy. When he has to do by himself, there's no way he's going to be able to produce.
So you don't. So hold on, real quick, Jose. So you don't think he's going to be able to produce this Sunday? You think he's going to have his work cut out for him?
Look, all this holdout thing. First of all, that put him way behind on the way that he's just not gameplay ready. And even when he's gameplay ready, he's not going to be able to produce all by himself. I'm sorry to say, but I'm really, really hoping that the Niners didn't get stuck with a contract similar to Barry Cito's contract with the Giants. Barry Cito got paid for what he did 1 year.
You're down on Ayuk, huh, Jose? You're down on Ayuk.
Yeah. Look, like I said, I like him. He's a really good player, but he is not an elite wide receiver. Okay, he asked for the money. He better show that he was worth the money, because the fans are going to be all over him, and that is a fact.
Well, they already are, Jose.
You know, it is funny how we look. Justin Smith was extremely important for Alvin Smith, but we act like Justin Smith was literally grabbing five linemen and Alden did nothing. If that's the case, why did Manny Lawson never have even close to the year Alvin Smith had? About Manny Lawson, like if you had that on your bingo card this morning, but you get where I'm going with this. Like, Manny Lawson was a giant stiff. He was terrible. I don't know how he stuck around in the league for as long as he did, but like, come on. I watched Alden on Monday Night Football. Was it Max Stark? Who was the guy who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Max Stark.
He threw him like a sack of potatoes. I think he had five sacks in that game. That was the game where the Transformer blew out, the lights went out. He destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers all by himself. Now, yes, Justin Smith was a huge part of it, but let's not act like I could put, you know, Tuli Bantakane on the opposite of Justin Smith, and he's going to have 15 sacks. Give me a break.
I do love Jose, though. But Jose is right, though. If Ayuk doesn't produce, despite all that and saying everything, if Ayuk doesn't produce, the fans are going to be all over him. They're already all over him. We knew this. He dropped the pass in week one, and you saw the comments. You heard the chatter. Oh, if he didn't hold it, even Peyton Manning, that's what happens. Get your contract signed, play in training camp. You don't drop the ball. I mean, that's going to happen, though. That's why when I think about pressure, I don't think Brock Purdy has all the pressure in the world. Now, he's got pressure of being the 49ers quarterback, and he's got to play well. Because we got things to do down the line here. And we got to figure some things out when it comes to Brock Purdy. You know what I mean? When it comes to dollars and cents. What's going to that bank account? But right now, this Sunday, I can make the argument that Brandon Ayuk has the most pressure on any member of the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk has the pressure. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, he has the pressure.
Can I ask a question about like psychologically playing wide receiver? Can you get the yips where you get the drops? I'm not saying he's even close to that.
Passes last week.
No, but I'm just
asking. But you can't get yips.
No, I'm asking, like, at the position. Forget Brandon Ayuk. Can you get the, like, can it get in your dome?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I always think about when T.O. had all those drops in that one playoff game against Green Bay, and then eventually he came back around and had, like, who was the guy, Gaffney? The guy for the Patriots that couldn't catch
the ball? Jabbar Gaffney for Florida.
Stevenson, or what was the tight end for the Seahawks in the Super Bowl game?
Oh, Jeremy Stevens. He just had a bad day. Who's Joey Porter? Jeremy Stevens, Joey Porter. Jeremy Stevens, Joey Porter. As I got my hands, if you're listening to the radio,
so much.
He's like, had Joey Porter high in the sky, his head high in the sky. He had Jeremy Stevens basically like, yeah, he's not even on my level.
One of my favorite parts of Trill TV DVD was seeing Joey Porter ride up on everybody outside the club.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Matt Dre's like, that's Joey Porter. And Joey Porter's like, what's up, Matt Dre?
Straight from Bakersfield,
best,
baby.
Dude.
Joey Porter straight from Bakersfield. Best. Hey, sounds pretty good at Pittsburgh.
He's Porter. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Joey Porter wearing a jersey of his son is pretty good.
The reason why I ask about psychologically is I do believe there are certain things like free throws. I watch Andres Bajans just like short circuit on free throws.
I don't think we're
I'm not saying he's
there. We're not even close.
No, but I do think that like putting is something like guys get the yips, right? In pitching, you see certain guys like Rick Ankiel talk about like, I couldn't throw a strike. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden I threw a cutter and I couldn't throw a strike. We're not there. There can be pressure in your head. Is that ball's coming? And
well, there's
pressure. I listen to it.
He's got to get the ball thrown to him, number one. And number two, now it's time. It's time to be that guy. We need some 100-yard games.
Oh, there's
I need a 100-yard game from Brandon Ayuk this week. I do.
But I do think you're 100% correct. Tolerance level is very thin right now for Niner fans.
Oh, for Brandon Ayuk, for number 11.
I would agree.
Tolerance
is Brandon thin.
There is no tolerance right now for Brandon Ayuk.
It's paper thin.
He's got to ball out.
I agree.
He's got to ball out. Let's go to, man, this is crazy. This is a must win to get. I'm really excited for this win at SoFi Stadium. Now I'm starting to think, like, damn, do I just bite the bullet and try to fly down and go to that game? This is a big game against the LA Rams because they're desperate. They cannot fall to 0-3. They just got they got blown the hell out. They're as low as they can get down in LA. And McVay is saying, we can steal this game and we can send the Niners into a tailspin. This is huge.
If I see him on the sideline doing the years and the, you know, like he does all that fist pumping crap. Well, because honestly, McVay reminds me of myself.
Oh, now he does.
Good looking, smart guy, you know, great on a broadcast, you know, just celebrates with his players coach. I emulate being a Sean McVay. I mean, he's winning at life.
Hey, there's some crazy breaking news here.
What? It's not Diddy related, is it?
No, it's Adrian Wojnarowski here, and we're starting to see this in sports. It's just a quick aside because I want to get to the Lions, get back to the Niners. But just real quick, Schefter's reporting that NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski has agreed to become the general manager of the men's basketball program at St. Bonaventure. He told ESPN the role includes name, image, and likeness allocation, recruiting, and supporting successful bodies coach Mark Schmidt. Now, I believe he attended St. Bonaventure.
Woj is going to be the general manager of a college team?
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be
a reporter.
No, I don't know if he's going to continue. Oh, wait. Here's his message.
Not Woj, the Duke player.
No, not Woj. I'm talking about the reporter, ESPN NBA insider. I grew up the son of a factory worker 2 miles from ESPN campus and only dreamed of making a living as a sports writer 37 years ago. The Hartford Courant gave me my first byline, and I never stopped chasing the thrill of it all. This craft transformed my life, but I've decided to retire from ESPN and the news industry. I understand the commitment required in my role, and it's an investment that I'm no longer driven to make. Time isn't an endless supply, and I want to spend mine in ways that are more personally meaningful. I leave with overwhelming gratitude for countless mentors and colleagues, subjects and stories, readers and viewers. No one has benefited more than me from the belief, trust, and generosity of others. The past 7 years at ESPN has been a particular privilege. I'm appreciative of the company's leadership. After all these years reporting on everyone's teams, I'm headed back to my own. Wow.
So Shams won the war.
Well, I would say that.
Also, how many people who worked at ESPN are in the wake of Wojnarowski stealing their breaking news so that he could have that byline? That's a whole nother undercover story, not for today. Let's get back into
that. I don't think it's for any day. I think that's an off-the-record story.
No, a lot of people were coming, like Amin was talking about this.
Yeah, I know.
Different people that have worked at ESPN, when they would get breaking news and they said something. I mean, part of why Mark Stein isn't there anymore is because of Woj.
Well, I've been in rooms with Woj and how he has a stranglehold on those ESPN workers. It is something to watch. It is something to behold.
Really?
Yeah, oh, it is. It is wild. That's a story for off the air. But I want to get back to 49ers.
Top five egos in sports.
I don't know.
Is Woj in there?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I mean, at his own station, he's not even top five.
Right.
Stephen Hayes, Shannon Sharp. Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, did you see Ryan Clark recently? Come on.
Shannon's is earned.
I mean, there's a lot. Olasky. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
I kind of like Olasky.
But there's egos everywhere.
Greeny
has an ego. We all have egos, for crying out loud.
I just don't like the Jets.
Like, you have an ego. I have an ego. We all have egos.
You have to.
Yeah, you got to have some confidence in yourself.
But mine is smaller than others.
No, really?
Yeah.
Michael is
there's a joke in there.
Michael is that's why I said what's up, Mike?
Yeah, hey. I just wanted to talk about Gronkowski saying there's no it guy on the 49ers. Look, he's not the most well-spoken, eloquent guy. We know that. But I think I do know a little bit of what he's talking about here. Just as a fan, it feels like this 49ers team is not playing with the same fire that we've seen in the past couple of years. I mean, if you're watching Brandon Ayuk, to me, his body language has not been very good. I mean, we know he's had a couple of drops. Him and Purdy haven't really been on the same page as far as their timing and everything. But, I mean, it's not like when you watch Fred Warner, I mean, that guy wants to play football. He wants to go out there and fly around. And it seems like, you know, maybe Juwan Jennings on the offensive side of the ball is playing that way. But there's just less of those, like, big plays where somebody clearly wants to go out there and dominate. I mean, George Kittle had a chance to go get a first down on third. And, yeah, he fought for the ball, but we just haven't seen some of those big George Kittle runs or Deebo Samuel plays where he's running through somebody. I kind of get what he's getting at there.
Yeah, I understand it. I understand what Gronk is trying to say. He said, we need a dude, and they do have those guys. But now it's imperative for somebody to step up here offensively and just say, I want the damn ball. You know what? You know, in a way, I'd like to see how you do what Deebo did in the NFC Championship game, where he's still a shit ahead. Feed me, dude. Feed me. Lynch goes down to the locker room at halftime, down 24-7, and Deebo's saying, get me the damn football. Get me the football. I want to see that growth for Brandon Ayuk now. Now I want to see it's like, hey, I'm the man. I held in for a reason. I want my money. I got my money. Now let's go and feed me 13 targets. I'm with that.
Is that out of his character?
It's probably out of his character, but you know what? Right now we need somebody to step up.
Yeah.
Did you guys find it interesting in that whole Gronk clip that he left out Brock Purdy basically and was just like, you know, Tom Brady, he was an it guy, but he didn't really mention Purdy in there. He was mentioning all the different weapons he had, but it was just, I thought that was a little interesting, just not even mentioning the quarterback and all this, right?
Because Tom's Tom, and comparing any quarterback like Purdy to Tom is a fool's errand.
Well,
you know?
No, but I'm just saying, like, he mentioned Chris Hogan, of all people, as an it guy for his team.
I mean, that
like,
was ridiculous.
I was, but
that
like,
was a little too far.
But Brock in this, too, is going to have to isolate one guy that he's going to find to be comfortable with, right? He even said it last year when Deebo was out.
Yeah.
He's not as confident when Debo's on. Who's going to be the guy to give right. Brock his confidence?
Well, I'm
and if there's
text,
a drop,
well, maybe
if there's a drop from Ayuk early on, are you going to be confident if you're the quarterback?
Yeah, well, you better keep throwing to him because you got nobody else to throw to.
Well, look,
you
look,
know what I'm saying? He ain't no rookie.
No,
he's a guy who was second team all pro, had over 1,300 yards receiving. Keep throwing him the damn ball.
Yeah, but Vontae, there's also a psychological element when you're playing sports, and sometimes it's inevitable and you have to throw someone the ball or whatever, but I'd be lying to you if there weren't times where I'm like, no, I got this ball, and I come flying over like Fitzgerald and Luciano. I don't trust you to make that play. I'm coming to make it. I could pass to you. I'm going to pass to that guy. Like, I don't know, man. There is an element of that, but he's going to have to get over that because they need him.
Well, yeah, exactly. The element of like, hey, if you drop a pass, I'm going to throw it to you. You just paid this guy $30 million a year. You got to throw the ball. He could drop the ball four times in this football game. You keep throwing it to his ass and say, step up and catch the damn football. Then we'll have another argument. But to Spadoni's point, we're now in year three with Brock Purdy. He's had to see on his chest for 2 years now. He could take over this franchise these next 2-3 weeks and say, I'm the dude here. It's running through me. So you know what? I want to see Purdy get into some dudes. If Ayuk does drop a pass, I got no problem with Brock Purdy walking up to him. It's like clapping his hand saying, let's go. To Gronk's point, to Spadoni's point, let me see Brock be that A guy. There's a lot of pressure on him too. There's no doubt. I think the most pressure's on Ayuk. But now's the time we've been waiting on. We talked about this offseason. How many times we hear, well, Brock gets to play with the Avengers. Brock gets to play with these guys. Well, he doesn't have two of those guys. McCaffrey's gone.
They still have weapons.
Debo's gone. They've got enough weapons to get by. But you know what? We want to see it now. We want to see Brock lead the charge here. So I'm excited for this game. I really am.
Did you hear the Tom Brady during the game that he was doing this weekend? Oh, God, what game was he doing?
Cowboy Saints.
Okay. A rookie dropped the ball. Again, a rookie.
Oh, yeah, that was a good soundbite.
A rookie drops the ball, and Tom's like, yeah, I'm not going to him again. Actually, get him out of the game.
Yep.
Like, that's literally how Tom would operate.
A rookie.
Right? Now, again, to your point, a $30 million player is completely different.
Yeah.
Especially someone that you've gone to war with in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Metaphorically.
Exactly. Let's go to Lisa in Fresno. Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Lisa.
Hi.
How you doing, Lisa?
How are you guys?
We're doing great.
I'm doing great.
Hey.
I would just wanted to comment that I think everybody's freaking out. It's one bad game. And if anybody ever watches any of the tape breakdowns of the All 22 and the game against the Vikings, that Brian Flores' defense is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They always talk about Kyle's offense being crazy because there's so much motion. The exact same thing is applied to Brian Flores' defense. I was watching Johnny Dell break down some of the film that he just did a video and released it yesterday. And there was like every motion that the Niners offense did, Brian Flores did a motion. So it made it look like something else. And then it made it look like something else. And then it finally became like Tampa 2. And it was like, whoa, that was pretty crazy. So for Brock to be able to process and get almost 70% of his passes done, that was amazing. And so I don't know, other than that 97-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson actually had only four catches for 33 yards, where Brandon Aguirre had four catches for 43 yards.
Yeah, but that play happened.
Yes, it did, but it wasn't because Justin Jefferson was so amazing. It was the scheme, the play call that the defense did that screwed it up. Fred was supposed to get a sack because he was blitzing, and he didn't get it, and he took ownership of that. And then why would you have safeties covering Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, you're right about that. Look, Richard Sherman, we got that Richard Sherman sound. We heard it from Baldy yesterday. I mean, look, it's one play. That's a huge play.
I mean, those are game-changing style plays.
I mean, think about what happened there. You don't get the touchdown. You go for it on fourth down, which I got no problem with. I got no problem with it at all. Go for it. I'm with that. Aggressive Shanahan. Wow. Brandon Staley. Impact on Shady. Whatever. I'm good with it. Second and 9 from 3-yard line. And you give up a 97-yard touchdown. And then we look. And we got Baldy out here breaking it down on the All-22. Talk about Diameter Lenore is garden grass. And Lenore wants to. We read all the articles this offseason. This training camp about him being the next Niner superstar. How he wants all the smoke. And we talked about the scrimmages where Lenore said, Shanahan, I got Justin Jefferson. Ambry Thomas, move the hell out the way. I'm guarding this guy to get out of the damn doghouse and get me a role on his football team. So to Lisa's point, she's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. They botched that play call.
Yeah, no doubt.
They botched that.
I agree with you.
I'm seeing some things from Nick Sorensen, and I'm like, all right, Nick Bosa comes dropping back in coverage. I never want to see that again in my life.
Well, it's like having Aaron Judge bunt with runners on. Right. But look, I hear you, and you're 100% right. But this thing, like, well, if you take this out, well, it happened. Come on, I mean, like that I disagree with the call. Other than that, she makes a lot of great points. But like, you know, if Matt Ryan doesn't throw that pick six against Bowman, Falcons win that game. Yeah, but he did.
I mean, that's what Justin Jefferson does. Like, that's the thing. That's why you have to. He does 97-yard touchdown type of stuff every other
Spadoni.
Week. That's how good he is.
Spadoni. If Kirk Gibson didn't take steroids or a performance enhancer, and if Dennis Eckersley doesn't lob that one up, I mean, the A's win that World Series. Like, yeah, but it happened. I mean, I hate to say it.
What does Lowe like to say? If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's good. I do like
Evan Giddings and him crushing it, by the way.
Oh, man. Could you say that line again? I got to steal that.
Ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Same church, same pew.
Lil Neil's got some bars, man. I don't know how these guys, Guru Lil Neil, I don't know how they come up with it, man. I wish I had that talent. I can't come up with stuff
Guru
like that.
Guru thinks that he's, you know, putting out a new album, which I respect.
If I take the pig around back and come back with bacon, what happened to the pig?
Wow.
I did hear that they had War Moon on, I think, last Thursday or Friday. And Guru was like, Ward, you are my favorite quarterback all time. And Ward goes, wow. He goes, what would you do in today's era? And Ward was like, oh, man, today's game? Oh, my God. He was like, and Ward was like, bro, I'd be throwing for 5,000 every single game. One of the tightest spirals I've ever seen thrown. Oh, my God.
You know why both those guys have bars? It's the 70s. Back then, you didn't have iPads and phones and social media. You learned things from older folks that were in the house and your family members. And I'm telling you, dude, that era was an era where you actually passed traditions down to people.
Why are you trying to age play these guys, man?
I'm not. I'm keeping it real.
All right, let's get to it. All right, Jason, Jay, Vinny, Oscar, getting to you on the other side. We promise this show is guest-free today. We're getting to everybody here as you talk a little Niners.
The it factor. He's an it player.
He is. Shout out to Oreo Cookie. Injury report.
I love it.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, CMC Debo out. But maybe there's some positives when it comes to injuries. Talanoa Hufanga continues to get closer to his return from a torn ACL last season. He's been practicing with the team the last few weeks, and the Niners are exercising caution with working him back into action. But 49ers GM John Lynch said last week that while he likes the direction Hufanga is training in, he did not set a timetable for his return. We'll see when he does return. Could be a few weeks. Injury Report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Jason, Vinny, Oscar. We'll play the Gronk sound one more time. Do the Niners have an it guy on offense? I think they do. Gronk doesn't. What do you think about that? And then Steve Young said something about Brock Purdy. That was very, very interesting. We'll replay all that coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. It's all coming up on The Roast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.